now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. As is well known, America devotes considerably more of its economic resources to healthcare than any other nation. Yet our healthcare outcomes are often worse than in other developed nations. This wasn't always the case. For instance, in terms of life expectancy, in 1980, the U.S. was right in the middle of the pack among peer nations in terms of life expectancy at birth. But by the mid-2000s, we were at the bottom of the pack. As indicated by writer Austin Fracht, some have speculated that slower American life expectancy improvements are the result of a more diverse population. But recently available research examining the three-decade period after 1975 indicate that life expectancy growth has been higher in minority groups in the U.S. A separate study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that even once one accounts for motor vehicle traffic crashes, firearm-related industries, and drug poisonings, the U.S. still suffers higher mortality rates than comparably wealthy nations. Some believe that the lack of universal health coverage may have something to do with it. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Last month, the nation's unemployment rate fell to 3.9%. That represents the first time the nation's official rate of unemployment was below 4% since December of 2000. As indicated by writer Neil Irwin, before those few months at the turn of the century during which unemployment was below 4%, one would have to go back to January of 1970 to find a jobless rate in the U.S. that was so low. In general, this should be viewed as good news and perhaps unexpected news. After all, there was a time in 2009 during which the jobless rate stood at 10%. As late as 2013, it still stood at a stubborn 8% before ramping down aggressively beginning that year. Economists certainly hadn't predicted that we would enjoy an unemployment rate below 4% at this time. In March of 2013, Federal Reserve officials projected that unemployment would fall to around 5 to 6% by now. Could unemployment fall further from its current level? The answer is yes. In 1953, the nation's jobless rate fell to 2.5%. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. Economists have a tendency to think of wealth as being associated with having lots of money. But that's not necessarily how other people conceive of wealth. Just 11% of those surveyed for the second annual Modern Wealth Index from Charles Schwab chose, quote, having lots of money, close quote, as their definition of wealth. As indicated by Bloomberg, most respondents selected more high-minded concepts as keys to their contentment, with many citing leading a stress-free life and having peace of mind as their personal definitions of wealth. But here's the thing. It takes money to lead that stress-free life. Peace of mind typically requires one to be fed, clothed, and sheltered. According to the same survey, to be financially comfortable in America today requires around $1.4 million. That's up from $1.2 million a year ago. And what does it take to be wealthy? The average respondent says around $2.4 million. This based on a survey of 1,000 Americans between the ages of 21 and 75. The point is that money is merely a means to an end, and that end appears to be comfort. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. A recent survey of economists conducted by the Wall Street Journal indicates that many forecasters believe that the current economic expansion will end in 2020. This current expansion cycle began in mid-2009 and already ranks as the second lengthiest in American history. many economists expect that the Federal Reserve will continue to raise interest rates to cool off an overheated economy, and that will lead to higher borrowing costs, less investment, falling asset values, and ultimately, America's next downturn. This appears to be an outlook shared by many. Nearly 3 in 5 private sector economists have recently indicated that the expansion is most likely to end in 2020, with an additional 22% selecting 2021. Other potential causes of the next downturn include a financial crisis, fiscal crises, or disruptions in international trade. Of course, these economists could be wrong. Recessions are notoriously difficult to predict. Forecasters saw the chances of a recession rise in both 2011 and in 2016. Both turned out to be false alarms. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. For the second consecutive year, America's fertility rate established a record low. The fertility rate fell to 60.2 births per 1,000 women of childbearing age last year. That was down 3% from 2016 and extends a decline in the number of American births that began in 2008. These data come from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center for Health Statistics. One might think that the economic consequences of this will be felt far into the future. But that's not necessarily the case. In just 4 or 5 years, this will translate into fewer children attending school, including private schools. Certain impacts are far more immediate. Kimberly Clark, the maker of Huggies diapers, has openly discussed the impact the company is feeling from declining birth rates. As reported by CNBC, this January, the company announced that it would cut approximately 13% of its workforce globally, or at least 5,000 positions, in an effort to reduce costs as sales decline. Pampers maker Procter & Gamble has also reported sales declines in its baby businesses this year. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.